Good morning, everybody. I just want to get these instructions down on my little machine. Everybody is aware of the 11 o'clock exercise. Now, I would suggest the following. Anybody who is not easily mobile can stay right here and doesn't have to go any place whatsoever. Now, I was not here when the decision was made how to run things over here, but in all of the ads that I saw in the paper, it said that wherever it will be too disruptive to what is happening, then you don't have to stop what you're doing altogether. It seems, of course, you know, I was away for a few days, and whoever of the powers in this august institution decided that we're going to follow instructions. I am a loyal soldier. I follow instructions too. At 11 o'clock, when that siren goes off, all who are easily mobile are going to get up and walk swiftly, purposefully, but very carefully to one of two places. I would suggest that we should really all go, the two areas are downstairs or upstairs. I would suggest that we go and congregate downstairs. And, by the way, do we have to wait for another siren?
Yes. Ten minutes.
10 minutes. So that means the shear is going to be over. The shear will be over. This is going to be extremely disruptive to me. It's going to be the shear that never ended. An unfinished shear. But I do feel strongly that we should follow instructions. I remember when it was a question of going into the sealed rooms in 1991 during the Gulf War. There were the Geuse, Tzadikim, etc., who has to do it, nothing is going to happen, and it became in certain quarters an act of funkheit. I have betochen. Bombs are bursting all over, but not by me. That's not a paradigmatic approach at all. One has to be concerned, and one has to be ready, and one has to prepare. I remember then in shul, I said just a few psukim in Tanakh. God appears to Shmuel after the decision had been made that Shaul will not be king. So he comes to Shmuel and tells him, go to Bethlehem, to the house of Yishai, because one of his sons I have chosen to be the king of the Jewish people. And Shmuel's response is, Eich Eilech, how can I go? The Shoma Shaul, Shaul may hear that I'm going to anoint a new king, Vaharoguni, and he will kill me. Wait a minute. Shmuel, where is your bitach? Especially since you're a messenger of God. Nothing's going to happen to you. Most fascinating, of course, is God's response. God doesn't tell him, Shmuel, you gotta be kidding. I'm sending you to Bethlehem to anoint a king, and you're worried that something may happen to you? That's not what the Rebbe Hashem says. You know what the Rebbe Hashem says? Take a calf with you and say that you're on, if anybody asks you, say that you're on your way to bring a sacrifice in Bethlehem. God gives him a cover. God could have told him, Shmuel, Onochi imcho b'chol asher teleich, I am with you wherever thou goest. Anochi Ogen Olecha, I will protect you, I will watch over you. No, God doesn't say that. He says, you know, Shmuel, yes, I get the kasha. Yes, I get the kasha. The answer is, yes, you have to protect yourself. And these exercises are those which are being done in order that we should learn to protect ourselves. It's a mitzvah, that's all. But I think with all the shtick. But I like the ad in the Jerusalem Post, I have ad on the brain, because of course my name is there on the front page in that big Obama ad, but that's not important. And by the way, you should know, they held up printing the Jerusalem Post last night at 7 o'clock so that they can put my name into that ad. All the press has stopped in the Jerusalem Post. Gold's name has got to be in that ad. I'm not kidding you. When Nadia Matar finally got me and asked me if I will put my name to that ad, I said yes. And she said, I'm going to call the Jerusalem Post because it's past the deadline. She called me back 10 minutes later. They stopped the presses. Oh, I've never had a moment of greatness like that in my whole life. But the editorial, you didn't see the ad? That's the worst. The unkindest cut of all. She saw the ad, but she didn't see my name. Oh, you mean you may have gotten early editions? Watch Street. Latest edition has Gold's name on it. Well, then I suggest that you get a call the Jerusalem Post and tell them you want a later edition. My edition, the one they sent to my house, has my name. But they had the editorial in the Jerusalem Post said lists, you know, all the terrorist states in the world, and then says, but there's only one country on the face of this earth that's having this kind of an exercise, because we're the only ones who are threatened openly with total destruction. Of Allah's Saini Yisrael, Shedachol Dor Vador, Aindim Aleinu Lechali Seinu Vakodish Baruch Hu Matzi Leinu Miyada, I understand. Yimach Shimon Vizichra. Alright. Now I have to say at least part of the Shia. And I thought you would have liked this Shia also, because it's the subject of the Shia is Miriam. The end of this week's Sedra. Parsha Palotcha, is that the Sedra that's coming up? Yeah. And I've been traveling so much. By the way, if I would be in the United States or any place out of Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't be the Halotcha. It's going to be Nassau this coming Shabbos, because our Nassau was their second day Yantiv. So we're going to be ahead of them for a few weeks. But we're always ahead of them. There are two main parashiyot in the Torah about Miriam. So the one at the end of Parsha Palotcha on a certain level seems to be very, very troublesome. Yet what I want to do is maybe give you a little in a sense an insight into what some of this, we may even reach the point of Kabbalah and Chassidut see this parasha as being of an awesome nature. Number one, let's just read the parasha. The end of the Sefer, Miriam and Aaron to Moshe. Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, but really been Moshe is at the English translation. They said something. Can't really say negative, but they seem to complain about Moshe. Alodot ha'isha kushita shelakah, about the Cushite woman whom he had taken. Ki isha kushit lakah, because he took a Cushite woman. Rashi, of course, explains that Cushite here is a euphemism. Tzipora was not a Cushite, she was a Midianite. But the word Cushi over here means that she was unusual. She was different. And Rashi says she was unusual and different in two respects: her beauty and her piety. And sort of, it's a form of speech like Cushi, meaning different. Different. Not really, not negative in any sense. Vayomer, when they said, Arak, after the Moshe, do you know, is it only to Moshe that God spoke? Hello, Gambaru Diber. He spoke to us too. Vayishma Hashem, and God heard. Rashi explains, it comes from Chazal, right, that what happened over here is just a few psukim earlier in the Parsha. Somebody comes and says, Eldad u'meidad mitnabim b'machaneh. Eldad u'meidad are saying prophecy in the camp. Yehoshua comes to Moshe and he tells him these two fellows are saying prophecy. And Moshe is not upset. He says, let all the children of Israel be prophets. What was troubling Yeshua, of course, is that Eldad u'Meidad was saying prophecy. Moshe makes for Yeshua Machnis. Moshe is going to die, and Yeshua is going to take the Jewish people into the land of Israel. But moments before that, when the word goes out in the camp that Eldad u'Meidad are saying prophecy in the camp, Zipporah, the wife of Moshe, was standing near them, and she said, "Oy vey, abrach al mishotayim sho'elu, on the wives of this Eldad u'Meidad." And then Miriam and Aaron learned that Moshe had separated from his wife. He was no longer living with her as man and wife. So Miriam turns to Aaron and says, "Why did he do that? God spoke to us too. We're not separating from husband and wife. Why did he do that?" God hears them speaking. Vayish Moshe Onamod, and this man Moshe was the most humble of all. Mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama, from amongst all men upon the face of this earth. I'm not going to go into this to explain the meaning of the humility of Moshe, because Moshe himself certainly knew the level of sanctity and holiness that he had achieved. But he was the most humble of all men. The reason why this is being said here is because something is going to be revealed now about Moshe that Moshe himself could never and would never have said on his own. It's going to be revealed now. I forgot. I'm sorry. Vayomer Hashem Pidom. And Moshe to Aaron, to Miriam, God said suddenly to Moshe, to Aaron, and to Miriam, "Zu'u shloshtechem, go out, all three of you, from the camp, El Ohel Moed, to the tent of meeting." Vayetu shloshtem, all three went out. Vayeded Hashem v'amud alon, and God came down in a cloud of smoke. Vayamud petach ohel, and he stood at the entrance to the tent. Vayikra Aaron and Miriam, God called Aaron and Miriam. He separated them from Moshe. Vayetu shloshtechem, the Yetu Shteim, and those two now came before God. Vayomer, God is speaking to Miriam and Aaron. He says, "Shimun Odevarai, listen to my words. In Yen Viachem Hashem Bamave Elav Et Vadab Bechalom Adaber Bo. If and when there is a prophet amongst you, it will be through a vision that I will be known to him. I will speak to him through a dream. Lo kein avdi Moshe, not so my servant Moshe. He is different than any prophet that ever was or ever will be. He is different in kind, completely different. Bechol beiti ne'eman hu. In my whole house, he is the most trustworthy. Peh el peh adaber bo, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Omare, he sees, v'lo b'chido, there are no riddles. There is absolute clarity in my communication with Moshe, like a man speaking directly to his friend. Utmunat Hashem yabid, he can see the form of God. Umadu alo yereitem l'daber da'avdi b'Moshe, why were you not afraid to speak about my servant Moshe? Vayichar av Hashem bom, he had expected them to understand that though they are prophets as well, there is absolutely no comparison between their prophecy and the prophecy of Moshe. Why were they not afraid to speak about my servant Moshe? Vayichar av Hashem, and God got angry, vayera, and he left. V'ha'onon sor mi'al ha'oel, the cloud removed itself from upon the Mishkan, meaning they behold Miriam mitzorah kasholik. Miriam has tzorah, that spiritual leprosy, like as white as snow. Vayomer Aaron and Moshe, vayifen Aaron and Miriam v'hinei mitzorah. All right, Aaron turned to Miriam, behold, she has leprosy. Vayomer Aaron and Moshe, Aaron said to Moshe, be Adoni, please my master. Al no toshe toleinu chafos, place no sin upon us. Asher no al, we were foolish. Asher chaton, we said, we're foolish. We didn't realize that there's absolutely no comparison at all between our level of prophecy and your level of prophecy. Al no tehi kameit, let not your sister be like the one who's dead. Asher would say, tol mirechem. Remember, she comes out of the same womb and here half of her flesh seems to be eaten away. By Yitzhak Moshe Hashem, Moshe cried out to Hashem, saying, Kael no refo no lo. God, please heal her. Hayon Hashem Moshe, God said to Moshe, well, it's a difficult parasha. We're going to try and make sense of part of it. God said to Moshe, "V'avio yorok yorak b'faneha, were her father to spit in her face, haloti kolin shivat yomim, she would be shamed and humiliated for 7 days. Tisager, let her be locked up in isolation for 7 days, michutz l'machane, outside the camp. That's what one is supposed to do with a person who has sarat. V'achar, and afterwards, pay or save, she will be brought in. But Miriam was locked outside of the camp for 7 days. The entire nation did not journey ad hay or save Miriam until Miriam was gathered back into the camp. The achar notu ha'am, and afterwards the people journeyed mechatzerot from chatzerot by Yachanu, and they encamped the midbar Paran in the desert of Paran. Turnover. We have to get a clearer picture of what Miriam truly was. Miriam's greatness has to be seen clearly before we can really come to what's taking place in this parasha. Now there it says, this is from Parashat Shemot, Vayevachishim Beit Levi, a man went from the house of Levi, Vayikach et Bat Levi, and took the daughter of Levi. We know already that the man was Amram, and the woman that he took is Yocheved, and what he really was doing is he was taking her back. The Gemara explains, Masechet Sota, the Gemara explains this at great length. The Gemara says that when Paro issued a decree that Kol HaBen HaYilod, every son who will be born shall be thrown into the Nile, Ahmad Amram arose with Gidesh and he divorced his wife Yocheved. He's not going to have children that are going to be thrown into the Nile. Along comes his daughter Miriam and says to her father, Gzeira, your decree is worse than the Gzeira of Paro. The Gzeira of Paro is only a gump on males, but your Gzeira means that there will not even be females who will be born. So you know what he did? He took his wife back, he remarried her. The Gemara had also said that when Amram divorced Yocheved, Amdu Kulam Vigirishu at Nishotehem. Many people followed and did the same thing. So he tells her that Yocheved is worse than Paros. He takes his wife back, by the way, the Gemara even describes that Miriam and Aaron danced by their parents' second marriage. And then, some while later, Miriam is the one who says prophecy that her mother is going to give birth to the Savior of Israel. And then when he was born, Moshe is born, it's Malei Kol HaBayit Oro, the entire house became full of light, brilliant light. Her father kissed her on the hand and said, Biti, Nidkaimo Nevuateh, your prophecy has been fulfilled. And then, of course, 3 months later, when they have to put him in a basket into the river, her father said to her, Tachtavo, what's going to happen with your prophecy? What's going to happen with your prophecy? Let's read further. But Harry Shabbat, then the woman came pregnant, gave birth to a son, Lapeda also, and she saw Kitovu, that he was good, there's something unusual, there's something exceptional about him. But it's today when she hid him for 3 months. Velo Yaklo, Tatsino, she could no longer hide him. Vatikalo Taylor, Goma, Vachmer, Elbachemer, Vazlopet, and she took for him a wicker basket and smeared it with clay and with pitch. Vatosim, Vatayelet, she placed the child in it. Vatosim, Vatufal, Svakayor, and she placed it amongst the reeds at the bank of the river. This pasuk, next pasuk, Tatsav, Achoto, Megachok. And his sister stood from afar, Ladat, to know Maya Yoselo, what will happen to him. We could make the mistake of reading it as though the pasuk is telling us, Abroch, Miriam is afraid that her whole world is falling and collapsing around her. She made a terrible mistake. This little brother who she said was going to be the savior of Israel is not going to be the savior. Who knows what's going to happen? He may be lost forever and ever after. So the pasuk is so clear. First of all, the pasuk says, Batei Tatsav. Let's see what the English says. Yeah? His sister stationed herself at a distance. I like that. It could have said Bata'amod, and she stood. No. Bata'amod is not the meaning of what's being said over here. She has stationed herself. She's standing there with absolute confidence. She knows that something great is going to happen. She does not doubt her prophecy for a moment. She hasn't wavered for a second. She knew that she had received a prophecy, and that prophecy was true, and it makes no difference to her. It may seem as though her whole world is collapsing around her. But take pops out. Where does it say the name Shlosho Malachim Nitzavim Allah? Three angels are standing, or by the Yamsuf it says. What's the word by the Yamsuf? Standing externally first. Nitzav. Aten nitzavim ayon kulchem. Nitzavim does not simply mean standing. If all the Torah wanted to say was standing, they would have said, Lamod, akalomdim. It means with purpose, with determination. She is not a terrified little girl waiting there to say, see, never, what might happen to my little brother? Oh, no, no, no. She is standing there in a sense with absolute confidence, if you will, you might even say with a degree of defiance. She doesn't care what anybody may say. She knows. And take a look at the rest of the prophet. She knows that something is going to happen. You know what she's waiting for? What is going to happen? She knows that there's going to be a salvation. She knows that this child is not going to be lost in the night. Certain, definite. There's not a doubt in her mind. She hasn't wavered for a moment. We're talking about a woman who is so certain that she has received the word of God that her absolute meal does. I don't know, she there can be so many scenarios now. You know, there may be some Egyptian fishermen who are going to catch the little basket in their net. There could be some kind of a beautiful yacht passing by with rich Egyptians on it, and somebody's going to basket a hoy and they're going to lift it onto the yacht. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu may grow up in a little fisherman's village in Mitzrayim in abject poverty. He could grow up in some kind of a wealthy home, and she's waiting to see what's the Rabbeinu going to pull off now. What's he going to do? And then take a look. The daughter of Pharaoh goes to wash by the river, and her girls are walking with her along the river. She saw the basket in the reeds, and she sent her maidservant to take it. She was Miriam was sitting there and watching it, and she said, God, the most surprising thing, I would never have thought of it, the Rabbeinu is sending the princess of Mitzrayim. Boy, I could never have written the script for this. And she sees it, she opens up the Batitzah, Batereu, she opened it up and she saw him, at Hayelet, and behold, Na'ar Bocheh. A boy who is a boy, a lad. He's really a baby. But there's a message that says on the word nar, that the word nar stands for three words. The nun stands for ne'eman, trustworthy. The ayin stands for anav, humble one. And the day stands for Ro'eh, shepherd. The Na'ar Bocheh is the one who's going to be the great leader of the Jewish people. V'tachvololav, she had mercy on him, and she said, Miyalde Ho'ivim Zeh, this is one of the Hebrew children. V'tomer Acholto V'taro. By the way, it takes a tremendous amount of courage. She's floating around over there in the middle of royalty, and she sort of sticks in her two cents when nobody really asked her. You know why? Because she's absolutely confident. Everything is going to happen the way God wants it. This is all part of the great divine plan. We're talking about a time when Klal Yisrael had reached one of the lowest moments in their young history. That there's one girl who has power and strength and determination and wisdom. She's unbelievable, this Miriam. Gemara says, you know what she noticed? She noticed that her baby brother refused to nurse. So Batamra Koto, his sister, said to the daughter of Pharaoh, Ha'elech, shall I go with Karati Lach Isham Meneket Minho Evriot? Shall I bring a wet nurse from amongst the Hebrews, the Tainik Lach and Hayelet, and she will nurse the child for you? Batamra Batparo, Batparo said, Lechi, go. Batelech Ha'omo, the girl went. Batikra Deim Hayelet, she brought the mother and the child's mother. It's unbelievable, but she's pulling off over here. You understand? We're going to end up with a prince being raised in the house of Pharaoh. And if you remember this year that I gave a few years ago about Devorah Meneket Rivka, Devorah who is the wet nurse of Rivka, and there in the house of Lavan and Bishuel, a bunch of idolaters owned the Avodah Zarah, there is this woman, Devorah, who's sitting there in the corner of the kitchen, most probably on a rocking chair. And she's maybe peeling potatoes, she may be embroidering or knitting something, and she is God's agent in place to educate this child, Rivka. Here we have Yocheved, the mother of this child, is there in the house of Pharaoh, and she is going to be educating this child to be the one who will ultimately bring down Pharaoh and all of Egypt. It's an unbelievable story. Only the Rabbinic level can write such a script. And who's the one that prophesied all of this? And not only prophesied it. You know what's fascinating? She becomes an active participant in the fulfillment of her own prophecy. It's wonderful. A prophet who participates. She herself becomes the shliach of the Rebbe to carry out the prophecy. And she brought by Yigdal Hayelet, Batavieel, about Paro. The boy grew up and she brought him to the daughter of Paro, and he was like a son to her. She called him Moshe, because I brought you out of the water. So here we're talking about a girl, a young girl by the name of Miriam, who is a prophetess, who stands tall, certain that her prophecy is correct. Miriam herself was born in a period of time of great bitterness for the Jewish people. And that's exactly why they called her Miriam. Mar, Maror. It was very, very bitter. And in the middle of all of this, in the depth of this bitterness, she says, Mama, Ima is going to give birth to the Savior of the Jewish people. What is it that's happening here? By the way, what's happening with Moshe is, in a certain sense, a replay of Yosef HaTzadik. Yeah. He is also going to find refuge where? In the house of Pharaoh. He's going to become the second in command. What is it that now happens with Miriam? In our parasha, what happens with Miriam? What happens with Miriam is, and maybe she didn't really have to know. Did she have to be aware of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is different than all other prophets that will be or ever will be? What's happening over here in this parasha is, not only are we going to learn something about Lashon Hara, and I use that word very advisedly, because we'll see exactly how the Rambam is going to use it. Why does she get Sadar? Because Tzaraat comes for speaking lashon hara. The text of the Torah seems to be talking about Miriam and Aaron speaking about Moshe. And what did she say that was so terrible? And who is she talking about? The younger brother whom she prophesied his birth and prophesied that he was going to be the great leader of the Jewish people? Then we're on the back side again. Let's read the Rambam. Okay, I'm trying to negotiate with the time over here. I have so much to say, I'm trying to do a bit. So let me throw in maybe one before the Rambam, the Me'ah Shiloach, the Ishbitzer, says the following, that when God speaks to Moshe, to Aaron and Miriam, you know what happens in that moment? It's for those few moments in their lives, do you know what they experience? They experience the Nevuah of Moshe. The Revelation brings them to the level of Moshe, and he speaks to them, and they feel this unusual, exceptional, miraculous, defies everything. God is speaking to them, pun and no pun. And then it ends. Because the Revelation wanted them to know, feel, and experience in the depth of their being that Moshe is different. Do you know what's happening over in this fashion? As a result of Miriam speaking about Moshe, what is going to be revealed to the Jewish people now is a fundamental principle of our belief that Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Kol HaNeviim, the greatest of all the prophets, of those who were before and those who ever will be. There is no greater prophet than Moshe. This is a fundamental principle upon which all of Torah stands. Anybody who does not believe that Moshe is the greatest of all prophets has already stepped out of normative Judaism. Because it means, therefore, that, well, it leaves open the possibility that someday somebody's going to rise and say he's a greater prophet than Moshe and do away with all Torah. And two of them did it. Yeshu and Mohammed. But we remain firm in our belief that Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Kol HaNeviim. We say it every day. Every day. And this is being revealed now. Do you know what it means? God is, in a sense, using Miriam as an instrument. She was the one who prophesied that my mother is going to give birth to the Savior of the Jewish people. What she was not told in prophecy was that my mother is going to be give birth to the greatest of all prophets by the Jewish people. Miriam is now the instrument through which that message is going to be brought to Klal Yisrael. The Rambam. Hatzorah, it's an unbelievable Rambam. And we'll read as much of it as we can. Hatzorah from Shem Ha'omer B'shutzus Kol Elyon in Harbi, the word Tzorah. And I'm not translating it as leprosy because that will be confusing. Tzorah in the Torah is different than anything we can imagine in the world of medicine. Judy Siegel, Itzkowitz would never translate it as leprosy because Tzorah is different. It's a shame how more it's a word that can be used for different phenomena. Shame, dominant, is a phenomena that are not equal, they're not the same. It can be talking about a disease of the skin. And it can be talking about something very spiritual. Shadei, loven, or ha'odom, call it tzarat, because if the skin of a human being becomes white, that's all tzarat. And if hair fall out from the head or from the beard, that's also Rav. V'shinui ein habegodim ol habatim, and if there's a change in the color of garments or of a house, that's also called Sarav. V'zah shinui ha'omer v'begodim u'bepatim shekratu Torah Sarav v'shut v'sashem einu mimin ha'go shalom. That's one thing we'll certainly admit, that there's a change in the color of the wall or the color of a garment that's called Sarat. That's certainly not a physical illness, of course not. And you will also agree that it's Eino Min Hogo Shalom. This is not a normal thing that causes, you crawl in the paper. My house has a Sarat. I mean, my house can have Retivut, but not Sarat. Ela Oth Vapela, this is a sign and a wonder, Hoyob Yisrael, today last Hidon Lushon Harat, who warned them about speaking Lushon Hara, Shamisat, Lushon Haram, Ishpano, and Skiroz Bezo, as person speaks Lushon Hara, the walls of his house change. In Chazako, if he does Chuvah, Yitar Habayit, the house becomes pure. In Omar Bidisho, if he remains evil, Archet, Tutsat Habayit, until they have to destroy the house, Mishtanim, Clay, Horosh, and they tell the next thing that's going to happen. Garments of leather in his house, Shehu Yoshei Vishalchev Alein, that he sits or he lies upon them, they're going to change colors though. In Chazabo, if he does Shuvah Yitaru, they will become cleansed and pure. The Imamad Benisho, he's still talking Lashon Hara, he still remains a Rasha, actually he's sorrowful until his garments are burned according to Halacha. Mishtanin HaBegodim Shalom, the begodim that he's wearing. In other words, the first thing that goes is the leather couch, or the leather chair of which he, or his recliner. And if he doesn't do tshuva, then it's going to be the leather garment that he's wearing, or any garment. Ultimately, if he doesn't do tshuva every step of the way, then finally it's going to strike him in his own body, and his skin is going to change. The yitzhara, and he's going to become the tzara, the mugdol, and he's going to be separated from the community of Israel. Umufursom levado will be known by everybody. Atzlo yitaseik b'sichat ha'rishoyim shiri ha'ratzonis l'shon hara. He's going to be there all alone. He won't have anybody to listen to his lashon hara. And he won't be saying any Lashon Hara. So in the Mazir Batorah, and that's what the Torah wants about. He shomer the Negev Hatorah, be careful about the Negev Hatorah. Zochor et Asher Osa Hashem Elokecha leMiriam Baderech. Remember what God your God did to Miriam on the road. Hadei Hidbohu. This is it. Hadei Huomer. He says Hidbohu. Think about Ma Eril and Miriam Hanaviah, what happened to Miriam the prophetess. She dibro ba'ochiyah, she spoke about her brother, Shahisa Gedolim, and she was bit older than him, Bishonim. The Gidlatu Alpir Keha, and she raised him on her lap. The Sikna ba'atmolat Silonayam, she placed herself in great danger to save him from the sea. The Hilo dibro be'genuto, she did not speak ill about him. And the Tata, she made a mistake. She compared him to other prophets. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't kill her. He wouldn't have been burnt. He didn't feel bad. So the heaven was burning. You know why it says Moshe was an honor? You know why to say that? Me? Moshe? I don't care. I'm not upset at all about what Miriam said. Ba'afal became, despite all of this, Miyad Nensha, she was immediately punished. Kal v'chayna, so you can imagine her, Kal v'chayna. You hear it? I'm talking to God. You can hear it? If you don't hear it well, you're supposed to notify them later that you didn't hear it.